let's just remain for a moment listening. Father, this is your service. We are your people. Our ears are attentive towards you. I will provide, says the Lord. I just have a sense that someone in this room was just needing to hear that this morning. I will provide. Hear it again. I will provide. If that's for you, let it settle in your heart. Let the peace of the Holy Spirit minister unto you. Let stress, anxiety, striving cease and rest in the promises of God. Anybody else feel like the Lord's saying something clearly to them? We'll just give it a minute. So I know it can be hard to say yep. Well, Father, we do just come before you this morning. We want you. Oh, Lord, how I needed this morning. I just feel uplifted already. I needed to be with you with a focus on your presence, surrounded by people with like minds and like hearts. What a privilege it is to join together with the people of God, declaring your goodness, declaring your faithfulness, declaring your ability. Jesus, you are King. Holy Spirit, would you teach us this morning? Would you take something and solidify it in our hearts this morning? Would you bring shape to our lives this morning? Father, I believe that this prayer is valid on behalf of the entire church when we would say that we want to look more and more like your Son, Jesus. God, shape us. Where we have pride getting in the way, bring it to its knees. Bring us to the end of ourselves, O God. Let our lives be lived for your glory. Jesus. You know, I heard it said in a sermon recently that worship gets boring when we lose our focus on God and we start paying attention to the music and the congregation instead. I think that's the only way that I can truly get boring. Maybe that's just me building myself up. Let's focus on God this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're heading into this new year. What year are we going into?
18.
18. That's crazy. I graduated high school in 2004. Some of y'all are saying, what? That's crazy. For me, I'm looking back and I'm like, man, it's 2018. 2018 is upon us. And going into this year, going into every year, as Victor mentioned, as a church, we come together and do this dedicate fast where we're spending 21 days of fasting. Now, you may be thinking, oh man, you guys only mentioned this like once and I haven't prepared for this. Don't worry. We've got time before tomorrow. There's time. We got some time this afternoon after church where we can talk to each other and figure out how we're going to be dedicating this fast unto the Lord and dedicating this year to the Lord. What are we going to be fasting? I was thinking about the question, what actually happens through fasts? We'll be talking a bit about that this morning. Just to get us in the mood of fasting and prayer, I want to read some testimonies. You know, the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. There's power in us talking about what God's doing, right? I just want to read some testimonies from, these are all from one place, one website from a church who did a 21-day fast similar to the one that we're heading into. And just let these rest. It says, my member, Angela, has a brother suffering from terminal cancer. Although the Christians in the family have been trying to get him to believe in Jesus, he was always unwilling and said several times before that unless Jesus appears to him, he's not going to believe. Last week, when Angela and her family were in Malaysia, they received news that her brother was in a critical condition. She prayed together with her husband and their three kids, and in their prayers, they prayed that the brother would see Jesus face to face. Upon reaching Singapore, they heard that the brother had slipped into a coma. In a semi-conscious state, he saw a man clothed in white, and when he woke up, he asked who this man was, and the family told him that it must have been Jesus. Because of that, he agreed to admit his sin and give his heart to Jesus. Hallelujah! He has since been discharged from the hospital and now is resting at home. Tansy says, throughout these 21 days of prayer, my cell group and I have been praying and fasting for my dad's salvation. And last night in my home, my dad received salvation and accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Okay, we're going to have to get a little more excitement in here this morning, right? If the heavens are jumping up and down when this stuff happens, we got to get prepared, right? My dad suffered from a stroke and half of his body was paralyzed. He was in a wheelchair since late April. I prayed for my dad every single day of this 21 days of prayer. Initially, nothing happened, but God did a miracle. I was taking care of my dad at home and watching the services online. And as I watched, I prayed and lay hands on my father's shirt because he was unable to come downstairs and watch the service. As I was praying, my dad suddenly got up and started walking down the stairs with full strength and ability. I want to thank God for healing my dad. Amen. I'm a freelance photographer, says Ivan. I was going on many months without work and any work projects. I fasted and prayed for a week in a deal where $20,000 came in. Now I'm still praying and believing that God will continue to provide with more work. Winnie says, I have been praying for God to open doors for me in the area of my job. For the past 4 months, my company has been retrenching staff. Just this week, I received an offer to manage an admin team. Sharon says, after praying throughout this 21 days of prayer, I received a 120% pay increase with this job switch. Let's keep going. Angeline says, a member of my cell group, Emil, was a smoker. He had committed to God to go on a vegetable fast and to quit smoking during this 21 days of fasting and prayer. Since the beginning of the month, he's been able to keep this commitment to fast and not smoke. He is now also reaching out to his other friends and successfully integrated two other friends into our cell group. He has really experienced breakthrough in his personal life. One more. Aldrich, during this 21-day prayer and fast, I went on a 21-day beverage fast and put aside 1 hour per day to seek God. During this time, God used me in my song leading and encounters at an encounter session, which is one of their worship nights. During this session, God moved strongly and many members were touched and heard from God. People were weeping in his presence throughout the whole session. God also used my sister and I to bring about healing in my mom's life in the area of her emotions. The breakthrough and experiences that God has given to me during this time have been life-changing. I've decided that I'm going to do this 21-day fast every year. Anyone have a little expectation risen in them? Anybody have anything that they want to testify about that God has done in their life recently?
Our son came back from Spokane. I don't know, most of you know that he went to Spokane and been a drug addict for ever, 30 years or more. Got clean and sober, walking with the Lord, came home, and he called this morning and wanted me to thank all of the men who supported him when he came to Bible study a couple of times, even when he started to use again for a short time. They prayed for him, and his decision was he couldn't do it here anymore. He needed to be away from all of the frenemies, enemies who wanted to take him back. So his choice was to walk away and go back to Spokane. New life, they said, within a couple of days, he started to look alive again and come back to the Lord. And he just called this morning and wanted to thank this church, said it was an awesome church, and if he could live here, this would be where he worshiped. And thank all of them, all of you for your prayers for him.
Amen.
There's life
Amen.
In Jesus.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Was there a hand over this way that I saw? I'm just going to share yes. Good a time as any. Remind me of her name.
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Father, we pray right now over Elizabeth. We pray wherever she's at, Lord, I pray for an encounter with you. First and foremost, God, that she would come to know you in a real way. We pray for a true encounter this morning in Jesus' name, Lord, that she would see your face. Father, I pray that you'd work within her body right now, even just binding the receptors for alcohol in her body, Lord, that her body just wouldn't even process it, that she couldn't get drunk off of it anymore, Lord. I pray for healing in her body in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for strength. Holy Spirit, I pray for self-control. Father, I pray for freedom from this addiction in the name of Jesus. Lord, she will be one that we will fast for and we will have expectation for her freedom and for her salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was going to share another testimony of one of the things that God has been doing in our church. My stepdad, Frank, he's allowed me to share this, and this is going to be brief, but he has currently MS, and we know it's a debilitating disease. It's the reason why he uses a walker some days and a cane other days. We've been praying and periodically fasting for his healing for quite a while, and he recently had the opportunity to start a new drug, and it's called Ocrevus. Is that the one? Ocrevus. I remembered it. Hey. And not to be confused with okra. Pickled okra, I hear, is the jam. But as we've been praying and as he's been going and taking this medication, the Lord, through this, has been healing him. He's had strength. He's had plenty of recovery. And yeah, so we continue to pray. We continue to fast. But this just some good stuff that's been done, that God has done through prayer and fasting. Just as we would, and just as I would encourage, really, anything that we talk about, whether it's a physical issue, whether it's a church issue, whether it is a political issue, whether it is any other type of issue, I'm going to give you this answer. What does the Word say? There used to be a song that I used to love, and it used to say that. It would go through all of these. Do you remember that song? What does the Word say? Yeah. What does the Bible say? When it comes to fasting, and I'm encouraging us to fast and to pray and do this as a church family, what does the Bible actually say about it? Is this something that we should be participating in? Or is it just for the old, not people? Don't take offense. Is it just for Old Testament? And there's this answer that Jesus gives us. We know that John the Baptist had his disciples that he was teaching people and teaching people in the ways of God. And there comes this time where Jesus comes up and he gets baptized. And John goes, that's the Messiah. That is the Christ. There he is. Right. And so some of John's disciples begin to follow Jesus. And as this is all taking place, Jesus and the disciples are sitting down for a meal, and John's disciples look at them and say, I don't get this, Jesus. I'm looking at your guys' life, I'm comparing your guys' life to our life, and we fast, But why don't you guys fast? The Pharisees, they fast on a normal basis. Why don't you guys fast on a normal basis? And Jesus answers by saying this little story. He says, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then they will fast. His point is saying that when the bridegroom is there, it's a, like we talked about last weekend, it's a celebration, right? Oh, man, yes! Oh, we should do this normally. I like that. It's a celebration. But there will come a time where the bridegroom is going to leave and God's people should fast. That is what he is saying. We live in this time where Jesus came, he lived, he died, he resurrected, he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and now he is physically away, which means it is now time for us to fast. So we should fast. But what does this fast look like? What should we do? What should we not do? What is this fast about? And what do we need to remember when we're talking about fast? That's pretty much where I want to go this morning. We'll see what ends up happening. But we're going to see very quickly, as Jesus teaches us about prayer and fasting, that he intertwines the two. Prayer and fasting. They go together. I do also want to throw this in there, though. Sometimes when we talk about fasting in particular, there's something that jumps up inside of us that says, ooh, I don't want to do that. Right? I don't want to participate in that. And, okay, I kind of get it a little bit. I mean, a big part of it is that we're asking to give up food, right? Is that what it is? That's what's going on, right? In Colossians, Paul says that the flesh is at war with the spirit, right? And so that as we give into the flesh, that's when we do the things that we do not want to do. And so this is my encouragement. If you're feeling that, like, ooh, I don't want to participate in this. I don't want to give something up, whether it be media or food or whatever it is. If you feel that, my encouragement this morning, acknowledge it, right? It's in our weakness that we find the Father's strength, right? So we acknowledge our weakness. God, I don't want to do this. My flesh says I don't want to give up food. I don't want to give any of this up. But I'm choosing to follow you. I'm choosing to do what you want me to do, right? And the Bible says to fast. So I want to look at some scriptures here. Matthew chapter 6. Starts out by saying, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who's in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. In this section, and we're going to keep reading here in just a moment, but you're going to see that generosity and giving, prayer and fasting are all, again, intertwined with what Jesus is teaching. And one of the ways that these are all bound together is because they often will come out because of our flesh in a prideful way, right? That's what he's addressing. Don't do this for everyone else to see, but this is about you. Focus on your heart and your relationship with God. Verse 5, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray like this. And I just want to say this. Number one, I would love for all of us to try and let go of all of our other understandings and all of every... I mean, if you've been in church for a while, you've heard this Lord's Prayer thousands of times. You've probably heard hundreds of messages on it. I've probably made mention of it hundreds of times since I've been with you, right? So let's just try and put it all out and let's listen to this prayer. Jesus says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay, and here's going to be another part of my encouragement, that as we are reading through this, I want us to pay close attention, because I'm going to challenge us that during this 21-day fast, I'm going to challenge us to use this as a format for prayer to work from. And I'll give you a little more clarity with that. But there's another reason for us to just pay very special, close attention. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I want to spend the rest of our time this morning just making some observations about this text that will give us some focus and some clarity and a little bit of boost, I'll call it. A little bit of boost going into this 21-day fast. The first is this. Growing up in school and whatnot, we learned a lot of if-thens, right? If you do this, then this will happen, right? If you drive too fast and you get caught, you go and get a ticket, right? If, I don't know, if you eat too much food, you're going to gain weight, right? Or get sick. If you eat too much candy, you're going to get sick, which might just happen in our family because we get a lot of candy for Christmas. Yeah, amen. On the other side of that, there is when you do something, this is going to take place, right? When you live, you will eat. When you live, you will sleep. Now, some of us may sleep a little bit more than others, and some of us may need some prayer for that. I'm one of them. Pray for me. Sleep for Pastor Ben. But when you do something, she's saying amen over there. Man, she's like, I'm the cause. Yes. Yeah. If the baby cries all night, then Pastor doesn't sleep. Right? Okay. When you have a baby, you don't sleep. There's that one. Of these types of comments, which of those is Jesus referring to when he's talking about generosity and praying and fasting? Is it an if or is it a when? I may need some help reading here. When you pray, when you give, when you fast. Boy, Jesus is making this an expectation of the followers of God. Right, that this is the norm of the people of God. Generous giving is a standard of Christianity. Prayer is a standard of Christianity. Fasting is a standard of Christianity. This should be what we look like when people look at us. Like those people, like John's disciples coming over to Jesus. They should be able to look at their lives and say, oh, something is there or something is missing. Right? When we look at each other, we should be able to say, yeah, okay, something's there or something is missing. And Jesus said when. Someone say Jesus said when. Jesus said when. when you give generously, when you pray, when you fast. I've also noticed that it's important to be intentional with your focus and with your words. Jesus says that when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, rather than on the street corner as if you're performing for all the people to see. Now, there is indeed some wisdom in the physical fact of that, of having somewhere that you go to pray where you're not going to be distracted by everyone. But what Jesus is really talking about here is the focus of the heart. Are we focused on everybody else, seeing how much we're giving, seeing how much we're praying, seeing how much we're fasting? Or are we doing it for intimacy with God? We do need to pay attention towards that as we would be entering this fast. What really matters? Is it us being closer in relationship with God? Is it us being used in greater ways? Is it us hearing His voice more clearly? All of these would be great points for seeking God. So intentional with our focus and also intentional with our words. Here's something that just changed the way that I prayed when I really took time and started to look at this. Verse 7 says, "And when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." How intentional are we with our words when we're praying? There are two harmful ways that this can manifest itself in our prayer life. The first is through religious reciting. Right? Both the Pharisees and the Gentile pagans would recite normal prayers. Right? They would just say them over and over and over and over again. Right? I remember having this issue growing up. We would pray the same thing over and over again. I remember praying for meals. Right? We ate a lot. I like food. And we would pray. This is a good thing. We would pray over our meal every single time we would eat. Say, "Thank you, God, for the food, for blessing it, for nourishment to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, God, for the food, for blessing it, for nourishment to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, God, for the food, for blessing it, for nourishment to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen." At that point, it just started getting recited over and over and over. What meaning did that have in my heart? We would also pray this similar prayer for someone when they got an owie. "Father, we pray for so-and-so that the pain would go away in Jesus' name. Pray for so-and-so that the pain would go away in Jesus' name." And pretty soon it sounded like we were praying for penguins. Like the penguin go away. And what are we actually praying for? Right? So we gotta give focus to the words that we're using. So religious reciting. A couple things that I would throw in there as a caveat would be liturgy and praying the scriptures. Right? I've recently been finding a lot of value in liturgy. We don't do a whole lot of liturgy here. So liturgy would be like professing what we believe and saying it the same way over and over and over again. Kind of like the song we sing. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Christ the Son. They have these different creeds, like the Apostles' Creed, and a number of different just ways of statements of faith. And if done right, then good. If done with the heart where we are truly reflecting on those words, even though we say it every day or every week, then and there's actually meaning in that, then that's a good thing. If we're praying over Scripture, the same Scripture over and over and over again, then that's a good thing if it's really getting to our heart and we're actually giving focus to it. One of the things that I began praying a couple years ago, and it's just about an everyday type of thing, is the Lord kind of shifted my identity a little bit. I became so good at playing the number two, at playing the guy in the background. I was awesome in the background. I was so great at making the number one look awesome, doing everything behind the scenes. And the Lord said, "Ben, this is just a training ground for you to be shaped, for me to take you to this next spot. I want you to be a leader of my church." I said, "Okay, that means stepping out of the shadows and in front of people." So He gave me this word. He said, you're to be bold like a lion in Proverbs. And so if you hang around me, you'll notice that I've got lions around me. But I'll pray this over me all the time. I'll stand there in the mirror and say, you will be bold like a lion. You will be bold like a lion staring into my eyes. Right? I just pray it. But there's meaning behind it. Every single time I'm proclaiming this over my flesh, that this is who you are. Even though it's the same words, there is meaning there. So religious reciting would be one way that we would fall into this trap of not using our words wisely. The other one would be using mindless words when we're praying. All of the examples of Jesus teaching us how to pray is relationship with our Father, right? This is supposed to be intimate. This is supposed to be relational and conversational. And if you talk about relationship with you and with me or us with our Father, our earthly fathers, it would get weird if I would be sitting here talking to you and Father Chris, I want this, and Father Chris, Father Chris, Father Chris, Dad Chris, Father Chris, Dad Chris, right? Is that how we normally talk, or are those just mindless words that are starting to come out, right? It's okay if we are using those words over and over. I'm not putting any blame, or I'm just challenging us. Are we actually being meaningful with the words that we're using in our prayer? Or is it something that we've learned over time and just comes out? Because that would be mindless. Okay, we okay? Because I know that steps on a handful of toes as we would reflect on our own prayer life. And I think that's okay. I think it's okay. I think it's important that in church we discuss some issues that are going to step on our toes. And I think moving into 2018, I'm going to try and step on some more toes. So I hope to see you stick around for this next year. The next thing that I notice, number three on this list, would be to start with Him. And here we get into the practicals of this prayer. Start with Him. How easy is it to enter into and continue our prayer life when all we're doing is just coming to Him with all of our requests? At some point, when our need becomes the focus more than Him, our need becomes the God and not Him. That's a scary thing. We need to put God in His rightful place. The first thing that He says is, our Father who art in heaven. Our focus starts on Him. It's almost like pressing a reset button, right? We got our first gaming console in our home. We were gifted a Wii. And I realized right away that you can press the reset button and it'll start everything over, right? That's kind of what prayer should be like. It's a resetting to our life. Our flesh and the enemy is pulling us. This world is pulling us in so many different directions. Our attention is in all of these different places. But when we pray, we come back to this place and we say, our Father who art in heaven. Our focus goes back to where it ought to be. And imagine if we did that and we were praying throughout the day and our focus was always on God, right? Then He says, hallowed be your name. This is kind of not today's word usage, right? So how would we translate this into something that we would use on a normal basis? As I'm challenging us to use this model for prayer over the next 21 days, how would we translate that? Hallowed be your name.
You are greater than all. You are above all.
You are above all. You are incredible. You are greatly to be praised. What else? The Sovereign One over all, the Creator of all things, El Shaddai, Lord Almighty, El Elyon, the Most High God, Adonai, Lord Master Yahweh, Lord Jehovah, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner, Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals, Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there, Jehovah Tzidiku, the Lord is righteous. El Olam, the Lord everlasting. Elohim, God. Right. This Amen. Is who He is. So as we would enter into this prayer and we refocus our attention on who He is, we just simply let worship leave our mouth. Father God, we love You. You are amazing. You're the sovereign one of creation. You're the one before who was, who is, and who is to come. Our attention goes completely on Him and who He is. And then we move to what He does. His work, number four. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is here. Anybody, are we on track with that? Okay. It's here, but it's not here in full, which is an interesting thing within the New Testament. It's a fun thing to study if you're a studier of Scriptures. But when Jesus arrived on the scene, He begins casting demons out of people. He cast a demon out of a man who's mute and blind, I believe it was, and then he's able to speak and able to see. And Jesus says that if this demon was cast out by the Holy Spirit, then the kingdom of God is here. He also says plainly in Luke 17 that the kingdom of God is indeed here. But I like the wisdom that Pastor John Piper puts when he writes this. Many of its blessings are here to be enjoyed now, but many of them are simply not yet. But some of its power is available now, but not all of it. Some of the curse and the misery of this old age can be overcome now by the presence of the kingdom, but some isn't. The decisive battle against sin and Satan and sickness and death has been fought and won by the King in His death and resurrection, but the war's not over. Sin must be fought, Satan must be resisted, sickness must be prayed for and groaned over, and death must be endured until the second coming of the King and the consummation of the kingdom, which we know comes when King Jesus comes again.
Amen.
He's coming. He's coming. And as we pray for His work to be done. We pay attention to our lives around us and we identify what is not right when viewed from a kingdom lens. What's not right here? Simply drive down the street and pay attention. Right? Think about your friends and your family's lives and think about what is not right with a kingdom perspective. And we get to pray over those things. Next, we move on to provision. I like this one. Give us this day our daily bread. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
This is where we get to list off our needs. We get to bring our needs before the Lord. You realize that this is after our initial focus of intimacy. Intimacy is the starting place. It's the continuing place. It's the place where we need to continue to live from. But He is our Father and we're His kids. And it pleases the Father to give His kids the things that He needs. He is our provider. It's a part of who God is. He's a provider. He's our provider. And so we can ask Him for our provisions. So as we would get to this point in our prayer, give us this day our daily bread, we can say, God, I need this. And as we're fasting and going into the season of prayer and fasting, this is where those expectations that we've identified we're going to bring before Him. God, I need You to provide us with a church building. I need You to provide us with more missionary funds. I need You to provide us with X, Y, and Z for my personal life, right? Then we get to repentance and forgiveness. Verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. How often does forgiveness get in the way of God's will in our life? Man, way too often. Where we recognize our own shortcomings and we let our weakness be our weakness. But we have a choice where we can let our weakness be God's strength. Where we simply lay it down before God and say, all right, here's where I'm messed up, and now I just need Your help. And now we get to move forward, right? I just want to release that over us this morning. Father, where there be any temptation for us to reside in our own failures, let it be gone in the name of Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those are nailed to the cross. You know, I had this picture in my head as I was preparing of some of us needing to get maybe a small literal wooden cross where we would write down our sins and we would nail it to it, because that's exactly what happens to our sins when we repent of them. They get covered by the blood of Jesus up on that cross. And so I just think that there may be one or two of us in here who actually need to go out and get some sticks and put them together and form a cross. And when you sin, to literally nail those sins onto that cross, to realize and to remember that that is not holding you back. If there's anything holding you back, that's you. That's the enemy trying to hold you back. Don't let him do it. Another big part of this is forgiveness. Verse 15. If you don't forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. That's a big one. And man, so often it goes under the radar for a lot of Christians. Now, forgiveness is for sure a right now I need to choose to forgive this person. But it is also a continual process for some things. I'm walking through some stuff in my own life where I've been hurt, where I've been wronged. And every day I've got to wake up and say, oh God, I choose to forgive him. I don't want to forgive him, but you forgave me and I will forgive.
Amen.
Some of us may need to be reminded of that a few times throughout this year. If God forgave you, we got to be those who forgive. The next part is deliverance. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Greek word used for temptation here is peirosmos. It reminds me of Friends. Peirosmos. Anyways, I thought that was hilarious. Clearly you guys did too. But the same word used for temptation in the Greek is the same word used for testing, which is interesting, but they are two separate things that we see within the Scripture. James makes it clear that God never tempts us. God is not the tempter. The enemy, Satan, is the tempter. Okay, let's be completely clear about that. But God does test his people. Jesus we see tested. Abraham, right? And we get tested as a part of shaping us to look more and more like Jesus. Where do we want to go with that? We've got 5 minutes left. You know, deliverance. We have to acknowledge that we're living in the middle of a spiritual war, right? And so this is the part where we acknowledge those things, where the enemy is at work, that we could say, no more. No more do you get a foothold. No more is this happening. God, lead me away from temptation and deliver me from the work of the enemy. Okay? And then finally, let's get to fasting with our last couple minutes. Just the focus of our fast. What we would really hope to see. Intimacy is number one. I hope you've gotten that through this message. Intimacy with God, closeness with God and relationship with him is number one. Increase. We should be desiring for increase. Desired of increase of being used, desired of increase of focus. As we sang the song this morning, increase of awareness of what God is doing around us. That's a daily prayer for me. I want to be so aware. I just want to be like Jesus, only doing the things that God is doing. And we have to be aware for that. We may be seeking God for direction this year. I know we are for our church, certainly. Seeking direction for personal life. What's next? Do I keep doing what I'm doing? Do I do something different? And then we seek God for world transformation. It's just amazing. There's this story, I think it's in Acts 13, I've certainly mentioned it before, where Paul and Barnabas are attending this church prayer meeting and worship, and they're fasting and they're praying. And because they fasted, because they were listening, the world was transformed. From this little church there in the Middle East, setting aside an evening of prayer and worship, the world was transformed. It's from that very meeting that they recognized that, oh my goodness, we got to send Paul and Barnabas, because they were praying and fasting. And they sent them over to this whole, Asia Minor that got saved. Just an explosion. The world can be changed. World transformation is found right here in prayer and fasting. I expect no less of a result as we would pray and fast this year. I'm going into it with some expectation, folks.
Amen.
You guys have any expectation of what God's going to do this year? In you? In your family? God, I pray right now over each individual, over each family. I pray fresh vision in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you would give wisdom what to do in certain situations. I even pray right now that you would call those situations to mind. God, bring direction. What do we need to do? Where do we need to go? What steps do we need to take? Father, we are willing to simply lift up our foot and say, God, you place it down wherever you want. And here we are lifting our foot. Place it, God. God, we pray for healing in the name of Jesus. We pray for freedom from addiction in Jesus' name. We pray for salvations in Jesus' name. Oh. God, I pray stronger families. Let 2018 be a year where families are closer knit. Where family relationships are strengthened by your power, God. Why don't we just spend a minute and sit before the Lord and say, God, what are you calling us to fast and pray for? I'm going to challenge us to be expecting God to do something in your personal life, something for the people around you, something for our society, and something for our church. I'm asking those to be focuses. So God, here we are. We're listening. You may want to have a pen and some paper or your phones out to jot down a note or two. But God, we listen now. What do you want us to pray and expect you to do? You already know, Lord. Share with us how you want us to pray, how you want us to fast, how you want us to focus. Open ears now to hear your voice. Make sure you pay attention to those things and let's go after it together. Guys, I want to do this as a family. I want to do this as a church family. You can choose to be a part of this fast as big or as little as you want, but here's my ask. Would you please join me in fasting for these 21 days? Here I am. Please. Please join me. We're also going to have opportunities. We haven't mapped out the details in full, but I would love to be able to have a night of prayer next Sunday. My hope is to be able to do it at some point in the afternoon/evening in the YMCA right over there. If that doesn't work, I see some ooze. We can figure out other dates and times, but my hope is to at least do it. And we could do it a number of different places. I mean, we can do it at a house. I just want to be with you, and I want to pray. I want to seek God with you. I want to see God do the things that I've been jumping up here around talking about. I just want to see God do stuff. I want to see Him do more stuff in and through us. I just believe this is going to be a big year for us. I do. I think God's going to do some really exciting things in and through our church. And it's all going to be fueled by prayer. It's all going to be fueled by fasting. It's all going to be fueled by intimacy with Him. So join me in this. Let's do this together, okay? Father, here we are. And if you're like me, just put your hands out. And God, we want to be more intimate with you. God, I'm hungry. As we prayed, that was like a prophecy over myself. We are hungry for more of you. I'm hungry for deeper community. I'm hungry for deeper understanding of your scriptures. I'm hungry for a greater hunger for you. So Lord, would you grant that? Would you take us to the next step as individuals, as families, as a church? We lay it all down before you. We never want to put the cart ahead of the horse. But Lord, as you would lead, we will follow. And I'm excited for where you're leading. Let this excitement grow and grow and grow throughout this year so that by the end of 2018, oh Lord, may it be earlier, but may all of us just be out of our seat with excitement for what you're doing. Just so full of excitement and rejoicing, God, amen, that we couldn't contain it. Amen. Lord, we want it. And oh, we love you. We love you, Jesus. You're the King upon the throne. We thank you for this relationship that we get to have with you and with others. And we give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, love you guys. And if you guys have any questions about the fast or how to engage in it, please do let me know. We'll see you guys.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.